Most of you want to ascend, don't ya? Most of you want to reach the higher spiritual plane. Well, I have an Australian woman on this show, mystic scientist named Sita Nirban, who's going to tell you, yeah, that's great, and you've got some crap you need to work out before you're even going to approach a glimpse of divinity. Oh, and by the way, don't be practicing Reiki because you're messing up people. Mostly because you're messed up inside yourself. Yeah. Let's just say, she practices spirituality that is much purer, which means the thing she has to say about it, well, they're a bit naughty. You want some naughty spirituality? Sita Nirban is going to give you the contradictory advice that you're not used to hearing, which we love here on Open Loops, Conversations That Bend. Welcome to Open Loops, Conversations That Bend. It's a talk show for your unconscious mind. That's right. My name is Greg Bornstein. I am a other than conscious thought leader, cultural hypnotist, and overall curator of the strange, esoteric, unexplained, and all around intellectually escapist. That's right. What are all these things? Loops. Loops and loops of curiosity. What is an open loop? It's an unconscious provocation. Like, I don't know, a cliffhanger? You're used to it. Well, guess what? I am constantly pursuing the loops because an unconscious provocation, something that might make you uncomfortable, something that might force you to dig a little deeper than what you're experiencing consciously every day, that goes with my mission. My mission is to challenge your existing belief system with radically unique ideas to stimulate your unconscious mind so you can step into your higher self. Well, my guest today, Sita Nirban, does exactly that. Now, how does she do it? By telling you most of what you think about spirituality is wrong. Now, in fairness, a lot of people love using that tactic. It's a common thing to do. It makes you seem different, right? Though Sita, in particular, her points resonate because she's a mystic scientist. And the way that she's able to, in her words, channel the way that spirituality is actually formed inside of you, I must tell you, this explanation of the way chakras that she's going to give in this conversation, it's one of the best I've ever heard. Amazing. She also talks about why people how she has to audit people who are going to learn Reiki skills. Very important. She talks about, well, knowing that her kids are going to be coming to her asking dating questions, and if, because she's a psychic channeler, she's going to pick up on that conversation. And she even helps me, your helpless sap of a host, figure out what is the niche of the strange. Do we get anywhere? I'm not sure. I just know I love talking to her. She is really a compelling voice, and one that, yeah, she contradicts. I mean, she made me realize something about the law of attraction. She made me realize a lot about purity in intention and how often the things that we think we want because of spirituality aren't often even the divine consciousness, the highest version of ourselves, deepest want. She works with leaders. Working with Sita is a call for leadership. And you're going to be inspired by this sassy Australian. I'll say sassy because she sasses on the spiritual community. Yeah, love that. You're gonna love her counterintuitive views. I certainly did. Before we go into that, If you like Open Loops, make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts as well as rate and leave a review. And hey, you never know, someone special might actually say your name on the show. Not saying it's a U.S. president, could be a Hollywood star next week. I'm going to start doing that stuff again. It's just been hard. There's so much. You know what? There's so much weirdness in the world right now, right? Sometimes I'm going, hey, you all just want to get to the interview. You do? Okay, fine. We'll get to it. Here is Sita. Enjoy. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. One sec. What is up? Oh my gosh, my hair is messy. yes. Pleasure to meet you.
And you. It's so exciting.
Yeah. What are you excited about? Do you go?
I don't know.
Do you just feel there's potential energy in the air?
Absolutely, always.
Yeah. How do you pronounce your name? Sita?
Yeah, Sita Nirban.
Sita Nirban?
Yes.
Sita Nirban. Oh my God.
Yes.
I know.
It's actually my... I love your accent, FYI.
Well, thank you. The American accent or me in particular?
You and American accents in general. And my daughter is obsessed with America. She will definitely live there.
Oh my gosh. Where are you based out of?
In Cairns, far north Queensland.
Wow. I'm trying to figure out how we even connected at first. I was like looking back and I'm like, wait, what was our mutual connection? Oh, probably some podcast.
I have no idea.
Yeah. I feel like we were in a podcast group and something like that happened. Yeah. I mean, look, Sita, I'm definitely excited to chat with you. We'll talk about, you know, oh, look at all this, the divine collection. And I don't know. I mean, look, I have a lot, just so you're aware, I have a lot in the back burner of episodes, so I'm not sure like how quickly I can get this out. So I wonder,
that's
like,
okay.
Yeah, in terms of promoting you, what is the best sort of, yeah, I know. I want, like, if this like comes out, I've promised a lot of people December at this point. So I'm like, oh gosh, this might have to be like January. If we're promoted, if we're going to do this and this is going to be released in January, what's going to be like the best thing to talk about where people can find you before we like really roll into this?
The Divine Collection runs out monthly.
Okay.
Six events that just run out one after the other monthly and they're live. And I'm actually running one in December, just a little first one, chuck it out there, see how it goes, which is great because I've got my crew on it. So I'm having a ball. And then that will start going again from January, starting with Knowing, and then it will just roll monthly. And then I have the Golden Key, which is Awake and Activate and Align, and that will start in February. So,
wow. Okay.
And then,
okay.
It just keeps going. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I love that. Yeah. We're going to talk about all of this. I mean, I don't even know. Like, what, you're a mystic scientist. Is that the best way to describe you? Mystic scientist reuniting individuals with the truth of healing, connection, and inspiration. All right. Yes. I like it. I'm hooked. I'm intrigued. You're bringing science. You're bringing mysticism. You're bringing ancient thoughts and philosophy. Like, we're gonna, yeah, I feel like this could be a very interesting discussion.
Okay. I'm just gonna roll with this. It's 6 o'clock in the morning here. I'm not generally a morning person, so
oh my gosh, how did I get you into this? I'm so sorry.
I love it.
Well, thank you for waking up okay. For this. Yeah. Sita Nirban. Sita. Okay, here we go. I'm ready to roll if you are.
Okay, go for it.
Sounds great. Sita Nirban joins me today on Open Loops. She is a mystic scientist. She has tons of courses. She's working with people at the cellular level, healing people, working with energy fields. aligning people in their purpose and mission. There's a golden key involved in all of this that we're going to have to figure out what that is. You're a metaphysician of sorts that looks like you've delved in many different fields and you're bringing it all together. I'm fascinated to go down the rabbit hole with you. Sita, thank you for coming on the podcast.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah. I am like, I'm excited because I feel like there's so many different directions we can go in. Let's start here. Mystic scientist. Two words that don't often go together, or at least we're conditioned with like Western materialism to believe that it's you're either scientist or you're all out woo-woo spiritual, like chakras, all that kind of stuff. It's been hard to convince me over the years that they can be married, but I'm curious how you came to claim those two words and put them together. What exactly is a mystic scientist and your definition of the term?
Okay, awesome. All right. So a mystic is obviously someone who's working with energy and creation and channeling and receiving inspiration from channeling. That's really what accessing different streams of consciousness is for me. It's understanding what's available to us through things that haven't quite been written yet and channeling individually what we can actually access from those different realms. And the science comes from actually having a master's in behavioral science and cognitive science and understanding how the energy system, so the creation of the chakras, is directly linked to the central nervous system.
Wow.
And how, yeah, it's so cool. And yeah. How, from conception to 3 years old, that's the creation of our base chakra. But the base chakra is in direct alignment to the creation of the central nervous system and how those, the information that we receive into our energy system. So the thoughts of the mother, the genealogical code of the mother, and then also the energetic and genealogical impression of the father, influenced by the daily life of the mother through conceiving and holding that child, actually starts to feed information into that energetic base and then moving into the central nervous system. So if there's traumas or emotional blocks, even as simple as being a first-time mother and being concerned about being a good mother, the child can actually invert that into there's a fear the world is dangerous or that I'm not wanted. And that impacts the central nervous system so that later, I call it the pathway to disease, actually, is what it forms into in the future, is that when we build these energetic systems, so from conception to 3 years old is the base chakra, and it's all around safety and understanding our place in the world, and we're just sponges of information. And then moving into the orange chakra from 3 until 9 years old. So that's our daily life as being a child and whatever's going on around us. And that creates the yellow chakra, which is the identity. And then, of course, the heart chakra holds all of these emotions and then impacts our ability to speak and also our connection to our third eye and then to the divine. So what happens is, we have this soul within a human shell, if you like, which is completely impacted by our kind of collective consciousness reality. But if the soul wants to go in a different direction from what that shell has been told it can do, then there becomes a gap, between the two. And the gap between the two, it fires up that central nervous system and in the future leads to consequential sort of outcomes like lowered healing immunity, thyroid, if not able to speak their truth, that sort of thing. So I'm very much around the science and understanding behavior and outcomes and epigenetics. That's my I love epigenetics, emotional and social influences going back 3 or 4 generations. So then having the mysticism to be able to channel. So whenever I'm working with clients, I channel constantly and I can see 3 generations back and where these things have come from to be able to help them to release what's holding them back that they might not even be consciously aware of, but is sitting in their genetic code. So when I'm doing a lot of work in healings, we're actually reconstructing the central nervous system.
Oh my gosh. Okay. That was a lot and it was great. No. It was pretty awesome. I'm like, what? I mean, what you're describing to me makes me sound like you might be the most powerful person in the world, potentially. maybe.
Not over, okay.
No, I mean, like Sita, like if you were able to heal that far back, channel it, and then understand the way that energetic centers are built gradually. See, that's a new thing for me. That's new. What I have heard before is what the different chakras are. And then what I have heard before are that, oh, they're supported by science, that you have these different energy centers. And that's always been like dubious, but maybe true. But what you're describing is actually the path of building the stack of the rainbow throughout the body. Rainbow being those chakras. Tell me this. You have a daughter, right? Do you have any?
Yeah, daughter and a son.
Daughter and a son. Did you see these chakras being formed as they were raised?
Actually, honestly, a lot of my science knowledge, I suppose, has been over the last sort of 5 to 6 years. Before that, it was all healing, you know, so just working with energy. You know, I've been channeling since I was a child. The first person I spoke to was my dog.
Wow.
You know, but in the last few years, as my son was going through his sort of creation of that orange chakra into his yellow, absolutely. I can see the, you know, I can see that kind of creation where he's questioning, you know, who he is and why people behave the way that they do. And he's very empathic. And so he looks at, you know, other children's kind of behavior, and he sees really deeply into that and then very takes it personally. Right. And I could really see that happening in that, you know, in that yellow space. And I was like, you know, it's okay. So a lot of kind of healing, and you know, when they let me near them, because they're always like, mom, what are you doing, you know? But you know, sort of that healing. But a lot of talking and understanding around behavior and allowing them to really be free to express what they're going through, but then allowing them to understand the conscious levels and the development of children and how that's impacted by the conscious levels of the parents, and how it's not really the kids, it's what they've been taught, and really just giving that sort of love and acceptance, but not from a place of love and acceptance and allowing poor behavior, but just understanding that poor behavior is actually not it's not a consequence of them. It's just the stages that they're going through.
Do you feel it's your responsibility to speak about the kids, not your sons, but his friends' parents to the kid? Do you go that deep with your kids to explain where bullying might come from, or are they really? Really?
Yes. Even the school, even the, you know, every I had a debate with my son around multi-universes the other day.
What was that debate? Tell me about that debate.
My 12-year-old was educating me on the multi-universe and how when I'm doing, because I talk about past lives not as past lives, as concurrent lives, and we actually have them circling around us. And I was going, isn't that the same as the multi-universe? And he's like, no, the multi-universe is separate. We would be completely separate. What you're doing is expanding on this universe. And I'm like, wait, what?
Wow. So,
he teaches me. It's cool.
So wait, you feel like he won that debate?
I kind of do, yeah. I have to say, but don't tell him that though.
This sounds like a fascinating relationship. Like, I've never thought about, you know, the parenting of, I've thought about like the responsibility a healer has to set up the kid, their personal gift to the world. Yeah, there must be pressure. Well, yeah, I know this could screw him up for years. Like, oh gosh, I know the Reiki healer, he's going to have to see for that comment I just made. There must be that, but also the idea of, you know, the kid growing up and being like, mom, I don't have a past life. Come on. I mean, are you constantly, how does that metaphysical stuff work at such a young age? It seems like it must work quite well for you.
It really, my daughter would be what you described. Jaya is like, just stay.
Does she not believe it? Does she not believe it at all?
She's actually a clairvoyant. She's a massively gifted clairvoyant. And Morrison's actually been speaking to spirits since he was 5.
So they're into it.
They're into it. Jaya resists it, but she's into it. Especially if she wants me to give us some boyfriend advice.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Do you recommend the Mystic Family Lifestyle?
I do. I love it. It's great. We can have some really awesome conversations and it's pretty cool. Actually, I was testing some theories just recently around not just tuning. I was playing, you know, that game Battleships?
Yeah.
So I was playing that with my son and, you know, and I was thinking, and I just learned some more information about the central nervous system and how the central nervous system between the mother and the child is intrinsically connected and similar. And I thought this would be really cool if I just tune into a central nervous system and see where he's placing his battleships, right? Because I wasn't trying to cheat, honestly. I was just trying to see whether or not this process would work. It would be a good opportunity. And I did. I tuned into the central nervous system, not to ask the question of where would it place, but just to create the connection. And three games in a row, we placed the boats like literally next to each other or across, but in exactly the same place, three games in a row. I was like, oh, this is cool.
Wow. This is kind of, this is very mind-blowing stuff, Sita. Do you come from a line of mystics yourself?
I come from a line of creatives. Yeah. Lots of very kind of, creatives, musicians, that kind of thing. A few palm readers that, you know, but not
okay.
Really what I do, but inventors, writers. There's a writer in Australia who's very well known called Neville Shute, and he's in our family line. Yeah, so a lot of creatives. But creativity and imagination is, for me, you know, the root of being able to expand and access what's available to you. That's why I think I think more about tuning into different conscious levels by way of healing and receiving creativity and knowing more than talking to a spirit guide.
So, yeah.
Does that make sense? Yeah.
It does. I'm trying to figure out what the basis of your entire philosophy is, because you've mentioned epigenetics, you've mentioned chakras, you're talking about creativity, channeling past lives. I mean, some people would look at this and be like, oh, Greg, this is all part of like this system of belief, Hawaiian spirituality, or you know, like Huna or whatever that is, or spiritualism with ghosts and paranormal and all that kind of stuff. I mean, how does this all fit together? Is there a way? Because you do bring in so many different disciplines. I'm curious if you've codified it in any way.
Not really, honestly. So I'm pretty, I try and keep my line really pure. So my churn line very pure. So I used to do a lot of work with horses and doing a lot of work with healing horses, but yeah. I never studied anything about the anatomy of horses because I wanted to be able to say to the owner clear, you know, I can feel that there's issues in the stomach area around this knee and it's causing an impact here. And then their knowledge of the horse would go, yeah, okay, those two are connected. I understand what that is. But I didn't want to muddy my channel by, you know, if you have a lot of knowledge about something, for me, you know, this is my own thing. If you have lots of knowledge about a thing, it's really easy to sort of connect the dots without really being in the middle of that. And I never want to do that. So the only real study I have done, and my client, let's just crack out laughing because they've got massive libraries of things. The only study I've actually done is the science. Everything to do with the mystic, I've never read a book. I've never read a book about chakras or anything else because I want to keep it clear. And so when I've done all of my work and everything that I do is actually based on the healings that I've done and seen the creation and seen, you know, a three-year-old child trapped in that chakra acting out and causing the consequential behavior of that adult person. And then I can link that through to the science aspects of how that behavior would play out through, you know, lack of boundaries or not being able to speak truth, which then I can see what the pathway to disease would be in the future if we didn't regress that back, you know. And even the things around epigenetics, I didn't even know that I was really even talking about epigenetics until someone just went, you know, that's epigenetics, right? And I'm like, really? Oh, my God. Because I was channeling all this thing around DNA and RNA. And it just dropped through that RNA was actually a crystallized strand of DNA, which is actually crystallization of emotions. And so then I would go and research about that. But I don't research first. I research after I've channeled.
Yeah, no, it definitely does. I'm wondering what channeling looks like for you. Everybody just sort of describes differently. You know, the characteristic I always see is like the person just sitting there and all of a sudden they like the eyes kind of roll up and then, Seth is speaking through me. You are one consciousness. Da, 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 da. What is when you're channeling? It's very Hollywood. It's very Hollywood. Oh, yeah, let's make it tangible. What is channeling for you?
Channeling is for me receiving information that I don't know, right? So it's a receiving information. So when I'm being very good, I will actually do meditations for, 2 hours in the morning. So I study Kundalini yoga as well. And that's, for me and my sort of spiritual growth in that kind of philosophy, which is very much tied into the whole science of what I do as well. And in those meditations, I would receive, information, but I can just as easily follow the crumbs of the universe, and I'd be typing something in and then there'll be a spelling error, but then that spelling error will lead me to something else. Like I ended up going down the rabbit hole of acceptance therapy just because I made a spelling mistake in something. So I follow the universe to guide me in everything, everywhere. And when I'm talking to clients or if I'm, if they have a question, or because I have a lot of group, courses, and they're just awesome. And sometimes most of the time, and they're all used to me now, I'll go off on a tangent about something that I'll just be channeling stuff through, and I'll just go, okay, I hope that was relevant for somebody. But then I'll have a note of it, and that will lead me down another road. So I'm channeling all the time.
Yeah. So when you say channeling, you're never like, do you have any moments where all of a sudden like a spirit takes you over and you're just like, this is the message from the divine, and people are like, whoa, Sita, what just happened to you? Like, is there any ritual like display around the channel like that you can point to where you're like, yeah, this was a moment where just like something overtook me and I like spat out words that clearly came from another dimension?
Yeah, so not in any kind of light language or anything like that, but definitely there are lots of situations where I'll be teaching something and then I will just go what I call off on a tangent. That's how I probably minimize the whole situation. I'll just and that will really be that the information is coming through me that someone on that call needs to hear. And I'm like, I hope someone needed to hear that because I'm back, and they were like, yes, I needed that. So that would be that. But I'm very, very down to earth and very just, there you go. I'm glad it helped. See you later. Let's move on.
Interesting. Yeah. Because you know what? I mean, look, as somebody that is, I definitely come from a more skeptical side of things. I'm going, what is channeling really? Is it, and people have said, Greg, there's a difference between having ideas already in your head and synthesizing them and then intuitively creating something, which is what I think a lot of artists, I've experienced ideas come through me, but I've never thought of them as channeling. And some people, they're like, yeah, you can tell the difference. I think feel like it's different for everybody. I mean, what to you is the line between intuition and going off on a tangent?
Yeah, okay. So my tangents, as I call them, will be that sort of divine inspiration. It's that divine. So for me, channeling is when you're receiving divine inspiration around something that you couldn't have known. It's not information that's already in your head. So when I actually had, when that stuff around the code, genetic code and everything came in, I had no idea what that was about. And then I researched, I didn't even know that there was an RNA.
Wow.
Yeah. So I had no knowledge of RNA or really anything to do with DNA. And then I'm like, wow, the RNA is connected to the DNA and it's actually crystallized. That for me is channeling.
Wow, that's interesting. Why do you think you got it? Why do you think you are the conduit for this knowledge?
Because I am divinely fascinated by the creation of the human.
Oh, explain that.
So the whole, there's lots, and as you say, there's lots of understandings. This is chakras, this is this, and it's like regurgitated a million different ways, and I'm a little bit naughty, so I'm like, a million different ways to sell books, how can everything be different in so many different ways?
Right.
They just are chakras, man. What is the purpose you know, what's the purpose of a chakra system? What is it really doing? They're not just little, you know, it's nice and red and it's sitting in there. What's it doing? You know, it's holding information for you to be able to access, supposedly, you know, because collective consciousness, you know, society at large isn't exactly in the best kind of state in terms of, you know, freedom of expression and freedom of who that we, you know, who we are and all that sort of thing. So these chakra systems, in my opinion, shouldn't have any color at all. They should, in fact, be light, just white. But they collect negative information. So if we were just pure light, white source, and everything was available to us, there was no impression in any of our chakra system that prevented us from doing anything, then they would really just be all white. But the fact that they actually gain color means that they've gained information, and the gaining of information is actually what draws them into the subconscious mind. And then the subconscious mind creates our conscious behaviors. But we don't know that the subconscious had, you know, like say that you were never able to speak your truth as a child, or you were never heard or never seen. And so you're going to have those boundary issues where you're going to people please. Yeah. But you're people pleasing because that information in your system is making you do that. But we don't know that. So we continue through our life repeating the same patterns without awareness that there's information in our energetic system that we need to understand and clear so that we don't have those people pleasing behaviors anymore, so we can return to pure light, white spirit, which means we would love and give with true love and acceptance and be able to receive that back.
Wow. Yes, yes, yes. No, this is really good. This is really good, Sita. I see why you, I see why people are drawn into these teachings, because you kind of do go a step beyond what I've heard traditionally. This idea of the colors, I'm now thinking about the chakras and all of my chakras and going, is the key then to find out what's going to, what else do I need to bring in to turn the red into white? Yes. Like one of my, I mean, yeah, that's
absolutely, wouldn't that be amazing?
That's
nothing.
Wild.
Totally neutral, completely neutral.
Wow.
If we had a completely neutral chakra system, that would neutralize the central nervous system, which would actually stop us from doing behaviors that are conflicting with the soul spirit of who we are. And then we would actually have our health. It's the conflict between the two created by the collective consciousness that just creates a distance between the two. And the illnesses, you know, especially anxiety in children now, that's huge anxiety in children. And a lot of parents are presenting their children going, hey, my child has anxiety, deal with this. If anyone comes to me with that, I'm like, if your child's less than 12, I'm dealing with you. I need to deal with the parent, because the child will be carrying the behaviors of the parent or the grandparents, because that's where we go into epigenetics, where it's nearly always third generation creation, either emotional influences or social influences, and around food or around behaviors. So a lot of anxiety in children is actually created by three generations back from war. So a lot of our children are actually suffering post-traumatic stress disorder through the genealogical understanding in the code of what their parents, grandparents were dealing with, and then the emotional influences of how those grandparents then overtly protected or played out different behaviors with their children, which then made them play out behaviors with their children. So a lot of post-traumatic stress disorder with war as being a background of children right now dealing with anxiety.
Wow. Wait, Sita, if you ask, they will come, right? That's the phrase people talk about when they, or healers are always, I don't put myself out a lot. If people need me, they find me. Have you noticed a trend with the type of people that end up seeking out your work? Like, why are they going for the Sita approach? Because it's very deep, it's very intense, and it's very esoteric, but yeah, it's grounded in the genealogy. I know I'm drawn to it, but I know I've read hundreds of books with different pieces of what you've described. So I'm always looking for the next level of mind expansion. Like who's your key demographic here? single women in their 30s who haven't figured out their career? Like, I don't know. I'm just fascinated by who, what? Yeah. Is there a commonality among who seeks you out?
Yeah, definitely. They're all leaders. They're all people that, you know, who have that real divide between, they know that they can do something, they know that they're here to do something really great, but their life has made them believe otherwise. And so I always know that people coming to me will eventually, you know, move forward from me and go off and, you know, create businesses, you know, for themselves, helping other people in one way or another. They're nearly always leaders that don't know that they're leaders. And they're just, yeah, they're the most amazing. And they're just the most amazing crew. They're my crew. You know, that even when I post something, they'll check it and go, hey, I think you've done that wrong, or you've done that price wrong, that's too cheap, or something like that. You know, they worry about me. It's great. And I look after them. And so it's this really amazing community where we just become, yeah, we move forward together. And I'm really happy for when they sort of move forward and leave me, if you like, and go off and create their own communities around what they're doing. And I work with lots of different people doing lots of different things. So a lot of creatives, a lot of healers, sound healers, you know, people who didn't even know that that's what they were when they necessarily came to me.
Yeah.
And I'm not that easy to find, really.
I was going to say, I mean, you know, well, yeah, that's interesting, because for everybody listening, Sita looks like a mystic. Like everything you imagine, if you were like, at, you know, imagine you're sitting somewhere at a golden temple and there's someone inside, you know, chanting. Yeah, that's what, sort of what this woman looks like. Very down to earth, very approachable, very friendly. But like Sita, you definitely have some sort of, I feel like I'd have to go through mountains to find you, which is an interesting idea. Like sort of unapologetically, don't wear a suit and tie and walk into a corporate environment. Though I'm not saying you haven't. Yeah, I mean, like, what is that choice of yours? Do you like that being in the forest kind of appeal?
Yeah, I do. I like, yeah. That's really interesting. I'm kind of, I just love everything. I think I love being out, you know, having that whole kind of pilgrimage type of mentality, and then being right in the city, you know, so.
Yeah. Are you in the city? Do you have an office, quote unquote?
I do. I am currently in my office.
Oh, wow. Yeah, yes, I was going to say, I mean, you are actually inside, like we're not in a field here, folks, but at the same time, you do have this like, you know, meditating statue next to you. Like, I definitely feel the I feel the earth connection. Okay, so you're working with people, leaders, they seek you out. You see them go on to do other things. When people are working with you, Sita, is there any... Like you're channeling, you're looking at blocks. What is the way to heal? How do you bring the white light to people? Like, what is your, I don't know, modality or methodology? Are you doing what people would describe as Reiki and energy healing? Are you when you say you're regressing people, does it look like what I imagine hypnosis looks like?
Yes.
What are some of the practices that you do?
So I have the Golden Key, which is made up of three courses: Awaken, Activate, and Align. And people can do whatever they want. So Awaken is all around finding the actual truth within. So a lot of the processes that I use in that particular course is regression therapy. And a lot of it's based, it's very much, you know, in the science. So there's a lot of behavioral therapy, cognitive understanding, regression therapy, hypnotherapy, that sort of work. But the difference is there, I guess, is that I can actually see where they're going before they get there. So I can see, you know, they might say, you know, I feel like I need to, you know, go back to, you know, when I was a child or something. I'm already out there. I don't say that, but I can see where they're going, and I can see that there is a child. I can see who's around them. And so as they're telling me, I know then that it's not the conscious brain that's trying to prevent healing, because our gorgeous little conscious brain likes to go, no, no, stay safe, stand in a corner and don't do anything, you know.
Yeah.
So I can, and there's a lot of resistance that's caused in that sometimes, you know, and a lot of sort of faux healing. But I really circumvent that potential by being able to see where they are and where they're going. And I also know if they're going to go back to their mum's line or their dad's line, how far back they're going to go. I can see that actually happening as they're doing it, which is really great. Because then I can, you know, leave them to experience their own events and situations, but I can really be there to support them in that as well, because I can see it, I can feel it, I can hear it, you know.
Interesting. So that's one of the golden keys, or at least that's like the beginning. But then
that's awaken.
That's awaken. Okay, take me through the rest of the keys. I know it's going to get weirder. I know it's going to get weirder. It has to. It always goes up in strangeness in these courses. It has to. No, I don't know. Maybe it doesn't.
It goes weird and then goes normal again. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah. So what do you mean?
Activate is all around channeling. Now, I view channeling, as we've kind of skirted around here, in slightly different ways. So if you think about the understanding of the different streams of consciousness as being seeing auras, spirit guides, Akashic records. But these things were discovered by people. So spirit guides was discovered by mediums back in the 1800s. It's never really changed its name or its understanding. But I'm just like, well, of course it's going to be spirit guides. I'd seen in that way because it was discovered by mediums who see spirits.
Right.
But what happens? Yeah, this is just me going down the rabbit hole of my own brain. And I'm like, but what happens if that was discovered by florists? Wouldn't that then be, you know, daffodils, tulips, and something else? It's just a name given to a stream of consciousness as discovered by who discovered it.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean that that's what it is, as in that tight construct, you know. So activate for me. And also there's lots of, you know, common understandings around auras as only being able to see them. That's not true. You can feel them. You can see them. You can hear them. You know, you can hear messages in them, see them, feel them. And it's really the construct of the external of the human. So this is really, really cool for empaths, for example, who see the divine light in everybody. And they're trying to, you know, healers and just people that are very open and very sensitive. They see the burning ember, you know, the burning light within somebody, and they ignore the red flags, if you like, of behaviors, because they can see this light. And I always say to myself, but the light that you see is hugely vibrant because of your sensitivities, and you ignore the red flags, which would be the auric system, actually, because you can see this divine light. But if you step back and really look at the aura, you will see all these red lights, and you will understand that the divine light that you see is really just a burning ember that may not be activated until another lifetime. And this is where you can see lots of people, you know, in situations of not necessarily great relationships, and the thing will always be, but I know they're a good person.
Oh.
Yes, so we're talking about the cycle of abuse here.
yeah. Wow. That is like a profound thing to tap into. So wait a minute. And that's level two? You've already worked with them at this in the first step. And then by the time they get to level two, like, you're unpacking that for people. Like,
how messed up
are we?
That's week one. That's just auras.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So like, what do people walk away with the ability to, I mean, do they see?
The auras?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that the idea?
Everything. 100%. Everything I do is in call. So it's a 6-week course, and we start with seeing as understanding. Once, because they're nearly 2 hour. Well, they're supposed to be 2 hour calls, but I can get a little bit excited, so it might go for 2.5 or 3 or something. You know, I give a lot of learnings around understanding. You know, how empathics and people see and feel auric systems, and then I actually have channeled and written an activation, which is like a hypno kind of guided meditation construct that enables people to tune into the auric system in the course. So people that have never seen auras before will actually see, feel, hear, understand the auras of other people on the phone call in the call, and then be able to explain things around each other. It's super
fun. Wait a minute. Is this why I see photos of some of your courses, and I see everybody is putting their hands above people's bodies, and I'm going, well, wait a minute, who's the healer here? I thought it was Sita. Are you helping everybody to become healers? Is that the big goal here? See, that's different.
I'm teaching them to understand that we do not need to see a healer for a healing. That if we actually, and this is part of Activate, and so we start with the understanding of auras, and then we go to spirit guides, and there's so many different spirit guides, so many different levels, and also consequences of people holding spirits very close to them actually limits their ability to be able to rejuvenate into the universe. So we do clearings where we get spirits and the emotions of people that are living to step away, so we can hold the emotions of people that are living so close to us that it actually blocks our auric field. And actually, this is pretty cool too. Just recently I've really discovered the impact on the auric field of having any intention of protection. So say, for example, in the base chakra where we have fears of safety and we are sort of facing the world in a place of having to protect ourselves, that actual intention of protection can nearly shut down a 360-degree auric field, because it's very difficult to receive and enter into the universe with any ideas of protection. Now, I knew obviously that having that protection thing would have impacts to the auric field, combined with thoughts and feelings that are not necessarily positive, combined with the thoughts and feelings of other people coming the other way and spirits. You know, there's so many things that go on around your auric, you know, your energy field. Yeah. But that was a really big one. I was like, wow, that's really massive. That little intention for protection just can 360 it. That's very powerful on that really deep, deep level.
Yeah. This is like very deep right now. I'm trying to wrap my head around it, which is great. Yeah. Yeah, no,
I just love it. I could talk all day.
No, this is great. This is great. And it's really early for you right now. So I appreciate you. It's amazing that you're clearly a morning person. if you want to be. Okay. So tell me this then. Let's get into, I had a woman on the show. And she did a great reframe with me. I said, I want to be able to see spirits. I want to be able to see guides. I want to be able to see these things that other people tell me they're seeing. Like, I wanted to do it. And then she said to me, well, Greg, what exactly is the feeling that you want to be experiencing by being able to see those things? Because that's really what you got to focus on. And then I said, whoa, okay, maybe I don't need to see auras and I just need to like resolve this thing inside of me that feels like I have to experience this other realm of reality. But forget her. Let's talk about you. I want to see auras. Do you think if I take your course, am I going to see this thing? Or like, I do kind of get the point. I get where she's at. There's something else you're asking for by being the seeker. But I'm sort of curious. Sita, I've never experienced these things. I've always been fascinated by them. I'm doing a podcast where people have all different spiritual backgrounds. I don't care which bent you come from. I will explore this with you, but I still haven't had firsthand encounters with the spiritual. How are you going to resolve this? Do I have to take your course? You think your course could actually have me seeing auras?
100%. Well, we see auras in the first week and then we go to spirit guides. We speak to and we actually understand which spirit guide, which stream of consciousness associated with spirit guides. Because remember, I've got this whole secondary level to this that we're actually speaking to and what information that we're receiving from them. And a lot of the, so even for myself, I've just had some information drop through recently around some sort of connection to a different realm that I might personally need to, you know, progress to understand. And a lot of what I was seeing in that sort of story, I had seen last year, but when I saw it last year, it was in a different construct, because my sort of spiritual awareness or understanding allowed me to see it in that way. But now it's allowing me with my growth to see it in a different way and another level of understanding. So with spirit guides and things like that and receiving information from those streams, sometimes they present to us in a way that we will accept. It doesn't matter what that is. You know, if you come from, say, you know, a shamanic type understanding, then it might be, you know, an animal guide. But if you come from a more angelic level of understanding, then it might approach to you as an angel or granddad or whoever it is that you will allow your brain to see, until you allow your brain to be completely open to whatever it might be.
Interesting. Where do you, these constructs? I do want you to answer. Actually, yeah, sorry. Answer the question first, and then I have a follow-up about the constructs, because that's a very interesting point.
Okay, so what was the question?
the question was about why I'm going to be able to see auras.
Okay, yes. So I've created specific activations. So like hypnose, that take you to a certain stream to open up those parts of your brain, drop out the critical brain, because the critical brain is called critical for a reason.
Yeah, I know.
So, you know, right?
It's strong.
It really is. And I always say to my guys, you know, you've got to clear the channel to channel. So the fears, so, you know, sometimes people are brought up in very religious backgrounds. And even if they're not practicing religion themselves, those stories still sit with them that I'm going to see something not great, you know, in doing this, because it's very much adverse to what I've been taught. Yeah. You know, so it's really about understanding what is blocking you within to prevent you from seeing what is without. So if your fear is this, then it's going to shut you down from seeing the higher level, but it might allow you to see a slightly different level, you know? So that's the first thing I talk about, is clearing the channel to channel. And then I use a hypno, you know, a hypnosis or activation hypno, whatever it's kind of, I just channel them to be able to move the critical brain aside so they're completely open, so that when they're going up to the different streams of consciousness, they have, don't forget, a whole hour of blah, blah, blah of me teaching about the different streams and the history and where it came from and why we need to be very open and understand the constructs are created by humans and, you know, from their perspective. And that might not be the true perspective of how you need to view this. It's all about perspectives, you know, and understanding. So lots of people come to me saying, I could never see auras. And I'm like, but you know, you're a feeler. So you're going to feel the aura and then translate that into being able to see it. But you've got to feel it to see it, or you've got to hear it to say it.
Yeah.
So lots of people will, on one call for Activate, I only have 10 people working it out, because it's really, you know, huge. And some people will see them, some people will feel them, some people will actually hear messages from them. And we find spirits and all sorts of things seeing in people's auras. It's very cool.
So you're telling me you've done this with even skeptical people?
Even skeptical people, and even people that have never seen auras ever before in their lives until that call. And they all have an experience.
Oh my gosh, this does sound like, I was going to ask, why the golden key? But this sounds like it. I mean, Sita, this is, how do you, you know, I mean, do you, that's, you're making big claims here, but they're interesting claims. I mean, does it ever, does the idea of someone being, this woman told me she was going to give this to me. You know, someone was like, you told me you were going to have me see auras. I didn't. I mean, do they ever not? Sounds like they might not.
No, because they always feel them. They always receive information around the aura. Because remember, there's a lot of understanding around the aura as being something you just see. And so the whole first hour is making them understand, or, you know, guiding them to understand that it's not just about seeing. If you're, you know, you've got your five senses, you know, if you're a feeler, you're going to feel that aura. You're going to feel that energy. And that is seeing auras. It's just because the construct of the way that everyone talks about auras is seeing them. That is like, oh, that is 1% of what is available in auras. Seeing them is literally so what?
Wow. Yeah. So this is, yeah, you're definitely a mind bender and a looper for sure. I mean, you've looped several times this convo, which is great. I mean, I wonder then, like, the idea of constructs is so fascinating to me, because I've always thought about, even with the alien and UFO kind of stuff, which, do you go down that rabbit hole a little bit? Are you into that? Do you talk to them? The Pleiadian? You must have contact.
Yes. So I used to teach a thing called healing beyond your modality, where I take people into their own vibration beyond, say, Reiki or Palawa or something like that. And we would have lots of star seeds show up. So cool.
Oh, the star seed. Okay. That's awesome. Okay. So when it comes to constructs, this is pretty, what is then causing the construct? That's pretty powerful. If you're telling me I'm a medium, I'm going to see spirits, and I'm like more Eastern and I believe in chakras, like I'm going to see these things form in the way that traditional Eastern mysticism, my construct is going to form the manifestation of it. What is behind all of that? What is even causing the form in the first place? Why does it have to be that initial conception of something? And why are you then able to see beyond it into what it actually all is, the source of everything? Even the word source feels like it's like conceptualized and built into a construct. Source energy, I'm like, yeah, I know the woman in Los Angeles who's teaching a 6-week course on it. I feel like I have the form. So what is it you're tuning into that is formless, and why does it have to take form in the first place?
I believe that it takes form in the first place to expand the consciousness. So if you think about it as going through school, you know, it's like as you sort of leaving your crown, if you like, you're going to those first layers of consciousness, and they would be somewhat around healing modalities, something like Reiki, Palo, that kind of thing, because healing modalities are not around healing other people. That is a consequence. If you look at the traditional teachings of Yasui and things like that, that is healing of others is a consequence to an entire system of reaching enlightenment. Yeah. So something like Reiki is actually teaching you that there is something greater than you that exists. Something like Palo is teaching you that you need to be mindful and respectful of energies that are not your own, that you're just a vehicle of. So they're teaching you lessons to be a more sort of responsible, less judgmental human, if you like. And so if we talk about those constructs being here as the first streams of consciousness, healing modalities, then you would go to auras, then you would go to the different layers of spirit guides. I don't do Akashic Records. I skip that altogether. And I go straight to what I consider to be divine consciousness, which is when we rise above to a continuum of nothing. And that's actually week 3 and 4 of that course.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And we astro travel to the divine and we receive divine inspiration. And that's very, very interesting for some people because there's such a construct in the market these days around creating the pure, you know, the version of what we need to be. You know, this is the version of what I want to be, and this is what I need to do to get to that version of who I am. I'm totally the reverse. You are who you are, but you just don't know who you are. So getting into the core of who you are, and it's pretty interesting that you go to the divine and people will actually go, I create this alternate version of myself, and I was trying to do that. And I was like, you went to the divine and you tried to tell it what to do? Like, what? No, you go to the divine and you receive on a cellular level in that space. Energy and knowing will just transmute through your being. Energy will run through your fingers. And that might be, who knows, a choir of angels just running through your system. And everyone that comes back from the divine, you know, from what I term as the divine, the continuum of all that is.
Yeah.
That always receives a healing, knowing, inspiration around moving forward and what it is. I've had people come after doing Activate, make huge changes in their businesses and create beautiful, amazing courses that they wouldn't have created before because, you know, this is not what we're supposed to do, right? You know, we're supposed to create courses that are going to sell and we always need to find our niche and blah, blah, blah. Whereas they just create these really cool courses and they just do really well with them because they're from the heart, the core of who they are in alignment with their purpose. And so it just works.
Oh gosh, I wish I knew the path. Greg, turn the golden key. Do it. So Sita, this is interesting. It makes me wonder what your thoughts are on, and I still remember, we got to figure out why you're in tune with source and nobody else's or the real source. Do you want to answer that briefly? What is it that you were able to, you started with talking to the dog when you were young. How did that lead to you having a direct pathway to divine consciousness? How did you skyrocket to that? Because it feels like it's the goal where we should end up being anyways, based on your teachings.
Yeah, and everyone has access to this. Everyone has access to this. We just need to clear the beliefs. Like lots of people say, I don't want to do your course. I want to do your course, but I don't want to do the first week because I've tried to see auras before and I can't see them. And so now I'm scared that I'm not going to be able to do your course, you know? So there's a block. Yeah. It's a total block based on teachings of others. And you know what? I know this probably is not going to be very popular with a lot of people, but when I'm working with people, I tell them all to burn their books, burn all your books.
Wow.
Just channel and receive. You know, I know that's very hardcore, but the thing that people that I've seen with my clients, and obviously this is not everybody, but just sometimes with my clients, what I see is lots and lots of knowing, lots and lots of information, but there's no embodiment of that information because there's so much information saying, yes. If I do this, it's this. If I do this, it's this. But what they do is this happened. I went to the gym, I hurt my back, and this person says I did that because I've got some repressed memory about this, or this other book will say this, and they read whatever book it is that they like the idea of that aligns with what they want to know in that moment, and that's why they hurt their back. And I'm like, burn everything. Let's actually regress to your truth and let's find out why you hurt your back. You know? So
yeah.
I do a lot of defrag defragging, a lot of defragging of constructs and thoughts and things that are out there. And I just bring it down to the purity of the person. Who are you, and are you supposed to feel? Are you supposed to see? Are you supposed to hear? Let's take you to the divine. And everything I do allows people to go to those spaces themselves. It's not just a one-off thing in the call. It's an activation where they know how to get there, they know how to come back, and they know what they're doing. Because there's no good everyone running around channeling. You're in Coles and you get this message about this woman in front of you. I mean, what good is that? You know, so people need to learn that this is when I'm in my space to do this, and this is when I'm in my space to be, you know, doing the shopping.
Yeah. So wait a minute, but why, first of all, I want to know what the daily, I mean, that would be a great podcast topic to talk about, the daily intrusions of being someone that is accidentally bumping into the divine constantly. Oh gosh, I heard this call before I knew this call was coming. Great. Like, people always joke about psychics knowing, oh yeah, well, if you knew that answer, you know, why'd you have to ask me the question? But it sounds like you probably actually do sometimes have that kind of phenomenon. Yeah, I knew this was coming before it was coming. Yeah, like, does that happen often? What's the deal? Like, what's the most recent situation where, oh crap, this is the pain of being a Chandler. I imagine parenting, it must come up a lot. You must know what the kids, I'm sure you were aware the moment that your son or daughter is going to ask you the speech about the birds and the bees. Like, oh. I feel you are, you know, the date, you know, the time. Is that true?
Yeah, I probably have a pillow over my head in most of those sort of daily things. I think what is a good example of what you're talking about there is that sometimes I get contacted by people. And most recently, I was contacted by a little boy who really wanted me to help his mother, but I didn't know who they were. And so I was speaking to my friend who lives in Melbourne, and I was like, hey, do you by any chance know a kid that looks like this, that has a mother that looks like this, that's going through this? And she goes, yeah, I do. And I went, can you let her know? And she's like, I can't have this random conversation with her, you know? And yeah, it turns out that I kind of went, you're the messenger, you need to deal with it, you know, like, and that led to an amazing conversation, you know, with that mother later on. So
wow.
I get contacted by people that I don't know, but I will nearly always know someone that does know them. And I seem to nearly always be able to go, hey, do you happen to know this person? So when it comes to the birds and bees conversation with my kids, I probably just stick a pillow over my head and just pretend like that's not happening.
Oh my gosh, you know what's coming, Sita. That's going to be like a thing. Holy moly. Okay, this is very fascinating. Divine consciousness. Yeah, I mean, do you remember the moment that you first knew it was something beyond all the origin source? What was, you were communicating with the dog, but what was the moment you really knew it was the highest level of connection you could possibly have?
You know, it's interesting. I don't ever really.
Do you have memories? Are you eternal?
Oh, well, see, now that's a whole different thing, isn't it?
I know, I'm dragging you to a whole nother topic matter.
Now we're going like concurrent past lives, you know, where are we at with that? Definitely, there is lots of access to, you know, concurrent lives for me instead of past lives. But I just progressed through. So I was still channeling as a child, and then I went into my healing modalities, and then I stopped, and I went into social work, and then I came back, and then I went into the science. It was the healings. It, for me, it's all around responsibility and respect, not intrusion, and just being the space. And I think being open in that space and not sticking my big head in the way, if you like, of healings and, you know, allowed me to receive as much information as it was that the recipient was receiving as well. You know, they're receiving their healing, and then I'd be receiving information because I'd be really open to that. That's not to say I didn't have a few arguments with some energetic things going. You know, I used to have some. So there's a process through the healing system generally where, you know, angels will show up to help you, and then you move forward from angels to something else. You know, there's a whole journey that I've seen my students in healing, learning healing modalities go through as well. And I remember being at the table and I was working at someone's feet, and at that time all the angels are standing at the head, and I'm going, what are you doing at the head? We need to be at the feet. I mean, seriously, who argues with angels, but whatever. And then
do you still?
No, now I know. I wasn't necessarily a great listener back in the day. So now I just do as I'm told. But, you know,
yeah.
But then I would go to the head and I'd go, oh, okay, that's why we're here. Okay, I get it, of course. And then if it was a teenager or something, you know, the angels would all be standing back. I'd be following the angel doing my thing. And I'd be like, why are you guys all standing back? And, of course, a teenager is divinely able to reconstruct their identity because they're in that flow and flux of creation based on what they've been taught, but the strength of their identity to not be affected by that. And of course, the best thing to do in a healing in that situation is to stand back and hold the space so that identity reconstruction happen. You don't need to stick yourself in the way. So I learned through my guides. I learned through them and what they were doing. And that's why you're stepping back for a teenager. That's why you're at the head for this person. That's why we're at the feet for this. And I just created a framework over 20 years of healing.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. That's really cool. Do you then think, and one of the things that you were speaking about before, this idea of trying to get divine intelligence to work for you, it makes me think about law of attraction and manifestation and even like occult rituals. There's a lot of talk about magic with a K, bending, you know, the ability to use your will to bend reality and carve something and make something yours, i.e. I really want to have a dream job. I want this car, this Chevy, and if I put it out into the universe, it will manifest and I'll receive it, which does feel different. It does kind of feel like, at least metaphorically, asking divine intelligence to work for you. So how does manifestation and wanting things to show up in your life work within the framework where you're just letting divine intelligence work through you instead of for you?
Mm-hmm. So if I was going to work with someone, you know, that wanted to create in their reality, for example, right? So first of all, if you can imagine it, you can create it.
Right.
So because, you know, and I had like firsthand experience with that working with clients back in the day. And I used to do a lot of the business coaching and things like that. And people would say, I have this idea. And I'd be like, oh my God, that's amazing. You could do this and you could do that. And then I'd look at them and they'd be like, what? You know, this is my version of that. And I'm like, because I can imagine that, you cannot. Just because I can imagine that, but you can't. Your imagination is actually divinely different. And I really saw that. In those earlier clients. And so first of all, whatever you can imagine, you can create. And when you're receiving divine inspiration, so you're just sitting and you're feeling, and then you're in the shower and you have this idea. You know, you might have an idea that you want to go and set up a rescue home for dogs or something, right? And then in the process of getting dried, you've already shut down the idea of being able to do that with every single human problem. You know, haven't got the funds, don't live in the right area, can't do this, can't do that, blah, 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 shut down, shut down, shut down. But that's an idea that you could have created. That was an inspiration or a receiving, if you like, from wherever it might be about something that you can create. But your channel, your human, your shell around what can be and what can't be, shut that idea down. And so therefore it never manifests into the universe. So that's one way that we prevent manifestation. The other way that we prevent manifestation is we sit and we do the whole Buddha thing under a tree for 5 hours. I've meditated on this and I visualize this and blah, 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 but then never take action to actually do it. So you create a version of what it is that you want, not a divine idea, but just I want to have this house. I want to have this car. So two different actual streams, if you like, or constructs, and then you're kind of not, but then you don't take the actions to create it because you think or read a book to say, well, if you just think about it often enough, it will actually come into your sphere. But you do actually have to take the actions to get to where it is that you're going to go. But again, that channel will shut you down, or your knowledge will shut you down. So for me, manifestation and understanding as the whole construct is that all of the thoughts and feelings and beliefs that prevent us from doing anything that we want to do need to be cleared, which is awaken, basically. And then connecting to the inspiration, the divine of, okay, what is my purpose? What if I can do, you know, and receive and be anywhere? What is it? You know, I'm going to speak to the spirit guides and you might pose a question to the spirit guides about what is it that I'm to do or what's preventing me from what it is or what, you know, I want to do this thing or whatever. And you ask them as guides, because that's what those streams of consciousness are. Then they give you your response. If your channel is clear, then you will then go and manifest that in the universe. Does that make sense? So for me, manifestation is three parts. Is your auric field clear? You know, can you actually rejuvenate and think because you don't have a spirit standing right beside you? You know, I have lots of people come to me for, you know, one-to-ones like healings and readings and that kind of thing that will be connected to a spirit. And they will know that that spirit's there, but they take comfort in that spirit being there because they don't necessarily feel very connected with this reality. So, you know, they feel not necessarily accepted in this reality. And so therefore they feel very connected to this spirit. But what they don't realize is that that spirit might be carrying a lot of sadness, a lot of fears, and they will be receiving that. So while they might be receiving inspiration, why they may have a clear kind of field themselves other than these feelings of loneliness, they've also got a spirit seeing here. And so that's going to limit their manifestation into the universe. So everything has to be clear, but remembering too, my clientele are divine leaders. So the manifestation of what they're putting into the universe is of service. See, I always say to people for align, which is part three of the Golden Key, which is actually business coding, it's for soul aligned people. I always say I can channel all day long, value ladders, offers, statements, whatever it is you need, as long as it's your purpose. But I can't make your business your purpose. I literally can't channel.
Wow. Can you channel me? Am I aligned? I have no idea what I'm doing. Don't answer that. I'm scared. I need to know.
I actually very much in relevance to what that lady said about you, about being the truth seeker. I actually really love that for you, because it really is the fundamentals, isn't it? You know, you are the truth seeker, as it were, but that's what fires you to do what you're doing, and then being able to spread all of this information to as many people as listen to it.
Yeah.
So it's perfect. It's you are doing exactly what your, you know, your base chakra, for example, might have those feelings of wanting to know, to understand, to create that safety, but it's driving you to create such an awesome space of such a mix of information. I had a look. It's so varied. So cool.
It really is. It really is. Thinking about a niche and people that are looking for their avatar. I've read podcast books and I have no idea who my ideal listener in quotes is. I know that's a great marketable asset to have, envisioning who the person that's listening to this is, but I don't know, Sita. I have no idea that image. I mean, if you could, maybe that's what I need Activate for.
Just curious.
So you could like make me actually see this aura of who my ideal avatar customer is. But also you're telling me that maybe I don't need it. Maybe I just need to create.
Yes, your avatar will always find you. So, you know, I did lots of years of, you know, being in business, you know, doing what I do and never writing an avatar, you know, because your avatar changes as you change. It's always reflections of who you are. And it might be someone that you were 2 years ago or someone that you were 5 minutes ago. Hopefully it's not who you are tomorrow. Otherwise, you know, who's helping who? But, you know.
Right.
So, you know, my avatar years ago would have been people that were just not seen and not heard. I wasn't seen and I wasn't heard. I did not step into my power. I was fearful, you know. So as I move forward from that, that would have been the people that I was going, I see you, let's get you shining, you know. And then as I step more into my growth and what I'm doing now my avatar has changed. So your avatar will always change and they will always find you. That's the coolest thing about the whole thing. As long as you're vibing in alignment with your message and you know who you are and you're learning and you're growing and you're doing and you're just not looking back, why would you need to look back when everyone's just coming behind you anyway? Leaders don't look back, right? Leaders, you know, when you think about the military and that sort of thing, you know, the leader, the, you know, the guy on the horse, he didn't face his military people going, come on, this way, let's go. He just took charge across the field and hoped that everyone was following.
Yes, that is such a great metaphor. I love that. I've never heard that before. Yeah. Wow. Sita, you're channeling stuff. You're channeling good stuff right here. tell me this then. Do you think there's truth? I've never thought about it this way before. With law of attraction, manifestation, the secret, do people, maybe some people don't even actually want a car? Is that part of the problem too?
100%.
Like,
I don't think they're worthy of it.
Yeah, or they just are, it doesn't, they were given programming or somehow they were conditioned to believe that having a nice house and these things and the dream job is what they wanted. So how's the law of attraction going to work for ego based? I know we haven't really used that terminology, but you know what I mean? Ego based desires. Like, I wonder if divine intelligence is also being able to clear some of that stuff in the spirits would also kind of really help you out, because it's making room for you to align with the things that you do actually want in this world versus what you've been told buying a book about the law of attraction is going to get you what you want. That's exactly. So I don't know. I mean, do you ever work with people that are like, I just want to be a coach and I want to be a six-figure money making the next Tony Robbins, da da da? You're like, whoa, you need to tune into your soul's path.
Yeah, no, I don't. And actually, people like that will call me and I can't work with them.
You can sense it.
I know it. I can. I actually don't even need to. I just know I can't. I don't channel. It's not that I can't. Not that I don't try. You know, if I'm talking to someone who I really think, you know, okay, they do have a purpose and they want to do this, they are caught up in that whole situation. But if they really are caught up in that situation, then they're not ready for me yet. Wow. I can't receive information, and I do. I just go, I'm really sorry, but you know, it's just not going to happen. You know, you're not in alignment with your soul for the level that I need to work with to move forward. But if someone rings me and they have absolutely nothing, you know, they've got no ideas, no nothing, and they start talking to me, and I just want to do this, I want to do this, and I'm like, oh my God, here we go. And I'll just talk for an hour about all the different value adds that we can do, and that's amazing, and I can take that there, da, 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 because they're in alignment with their soul.
Wow.
Yeah. So. For a line, specifically a line, then it needs to be a truthful, soul-driven outcome. If it's someone trying to fit in with that whole whatever that is, it's not going to work for me.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. We've covered the golden key. Awaken, activate, align. This is your mainstay program. This is the thing that you are doing. But you know what I also am interested in, Sita, before we sort of tie all this together, I feel like you do have some subversive views about spirit. You've kind of hinted at it. You're like, I kind of take this perspective that, you know, it's not, it kind of goes against what people, burn your books and some of the other things that are definitely a little controversial, which I love. One of them being past lives. Let's start here. I know you do have, what are your thoughts on past lives? Like explain it for the people. They need
so
to be
shaken interesting. Up. I love, so obviously coming through where I've come from the healing, you know, past lives is all, you know, talked about and it's been there forever, you know. But then I started working in the science and a particular realm of science, past life is an option for someone to go through for regression therapy. But what I really noticed was when someone took that option, that it was always by way, and this is just for me, not for anyone else. I know lots of people that do this and it works perfectly, but for me and where I'm working and what I'm creating as an outcome, it's not good enough. And it was always a deference. So they would go to a past life and they would say, oh, I'm, you know, I'm an old lady and I feel like this and I feel like that. And I'm like, yep, okay, great. Come back to where you are now. Let's go again. And every time it would go from a past life into their current life and then end in a really massive outcome and a really understanding. So after a while, I dropped past lives as being an option because I was just like, they're just stories. They're not really connected to this life. I don't want to pass stuff and I don't want to release things in a past life when it's this life that's causing the problem, you know, because there's still detachment, you see? So, and then I remember I did a free group with someone and we did like a little fun past life thing and they, all of them on that call had different problems. And I remember just going, right, that's it. I'm stopping recording. I'm doing what I do right now in my work. And we resolved all of their problems on that call. And they all were adamant that it was a past life issue. And then they all released them in this life. And I just went, that's it. I've been really good in this call. And I'm really, you still picked up that I'm a little bit like,
I want to know the things that your daughter is doing to you. What are you doing to the spiritual community?
I'm pretty much like, burn everything. Let's start again. That's pretty much where I'm at. It's terrible.
I love that.
I stopped doing past lives altogether as a result. And then a couple of months ago, I was doing some work with somebody and we did this whole situation where we went down the genealogical chain. We actually changed information, which affected the central nervous system. And as a result of that, I saw past lives as being concurrent and actually being in the center. This was where the debate came from with my 12-year-old around multi-universes, by the way, in past lives.
Yes, yes.
And concurrent, lives where we can actually access into different concurrent realms and receive information and healing. So it's a bit like going up in the divine, except for more, this is more related to your unique sort of experiences, if you like. And so we could actually access different past lives and receive information that would move us forward in this life. But they were definitely past lives, they were definitely alternate lives of that one person, which is very different to going to the divine, where it's a continuum and receiving transmutation of energetic knowing and knowledge. Very different levels and access points.
Interesting. So then, yeah, I've also, you use the phrase, the correct vibration of Reiki. Yeah, what's the incorrect one? What everybody else is doing? Like, why is it?
Don't even get me started. If any of my people listen to this, they'll go, oh my God, why did you ask her that?
Yeah, let's hear it.
So Reiki has a very specific vibration. You know, it's an energetic vibration that you become attuned to. And that vibration has nothing to do with being able to receive information of the person that you're healing. But there's lots of different people teaching lots of different things under the term of Reiki, where people will actually get you to channel in that Reiki under the guise of Reiki. But what that's doing is actually taking you out of the energetic vibration of Reiki and thereby not learning the lesson of what that healing modality is trying to teach you. So, and because Reiki is very earth energy and it has a very solid, you know, earthly vibration, it will still operate while you are still in your own, while you're running your own vibration. So it kind of sort of bangs down your arms at the same time, as it were. But you're neither here nor there. And I've worked with people that have been doing Reiki for like 12 years. And I'm like, oh, no, I need to step you right out of that vibration so you're completely in your own, so that you can receive the information that is divinely unique to you and your vibration, and be able to step you down or up or across or around. We think about energetic vibrations as being 360 degrees all around us at different frequencies. And step you into the Reiki vibration, because when you're in that Reiki vibration, it's a whole different ballgame. It's a different feeling. It's a different expression. And that's the same for the other modalities that I teach as well. They each have their own vibration, and it's really important to teach students to be in the right vibration. Otherwise, you're neither here nor there. And because respect and responsibility is one of my biggest things, it's, you know, if someone is divinely coming to you for a Reiki healing and you're giving them something else and you don't know what that is because you think it's Reiki, how do you know what your responsibilities and limitations are within the realm that you're now playing in? And how do you know that you have enough knowledge to be able to speak to a human to actually help them, not through the perspectives of your own trauma? That's part one.
Right.
And it's, you know, there's so many stories of healings that you hear where people have had healings and they'll go, oh, the healer told me I had this, that, and the other, or I should do this, that, and the other. And I'm like, wow, what's the background of the healer to be able to even have that conversation with you outside of the construct of being a healer?
This is a lot of work, it sounds like you're going to have to do. Do you, basically what you are sort of speaking to is the idea that every person that, I mean, I feel like you need to do an audit. It's like the test for COVID. I feel like we need to have these healers go through to you, Sita. You need to like scan them up and down, check for trauma, check to make sure they're good. And then great, you can go, you can proceed, keep going. You know, I mean, is that something that the spiritual community should take stock of? Reflection. 100%. So where is that movement? You should be the head of it, or this podcast will be. Give me credit.
I am. I have a reputation as being the Reiki rehabilitator and everything you've, and also the, what is it? The, rehabilitation for a lot of coaches that have gone through a lot of hardcore six-figure coaching and then been completely destroyed for it. Like, I pretty much rehabilitate lots of people that have come from lots of different places. That, and also you said to me about going down the rabbit hole. A lot of my students just call me the Queen of Hearts. It's like, how far down the rabbit hole do you want to go? Because she can take you there.
Wow. What does that mean? How far away? The Queen of Hearts.
Wait, you know, Alice in Wonderland?
Oh, yes, 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 yes. Wait a minute. I want to know, what are your limits? Maybe there aren't any.
No, like, there's no limits. It's just how far do we want to go? And it's really interesting too, because in that conversation with Morrison, he was talking about the multiverse. And I was going, that is the same for divine consciousness. So I see the streams of consciousness as a spiral to go up to the divine. It's like the different layers to get there. But I remember I just saw this glimpse, this momentary glimpse of all these other spirals behind this spiral. And I was like, wow, that's the multi, you know, the multi-universe of the divine consciousness that I'm talking about. That, yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah, this is really crazy, at least for someone just casually tuning into this podcast, to wrap your mind and understand all of it. I mean, I'm definitely going to have to listen back for sure. This is, you're doing an audit on the people. I mean, you have to. You got to clear these healers.
It's very important. And so many healers will come to healing because they want to heal other people. But the real problem is that, and that's beautiful. That's a beautiful thing, obviously. But the thing is, to heal others, you have to work on yourself, because lots of people will come to healers to be told what to do or how to do it. Now, if you're going to a healer, I've heard some seriously whack stories, you know, where people will see. So talking about entities and attachments and things like that, I don't see entities and attachments. I see emotions that haven't been resolved, and I see spirits who were probably cross people in their living life and are now just cross people in their past life, past spirit life. And you just need to tell them to just step off, be quiet, step down, talk to me properly. Let's reduce you to the trauma, get rid of the trauma as a spirit. And now you can be the loving, nurturing spirit that you actually want to be, because they never learned that lesson in life. So we can teach them and bring them into that space in spirit.
How quickly can you heal someone? Like,
really? In that, I remember I had a client just recently who had a child who hadn't been able to sleep for 4 years for having this spirit so close to him at night. And so she came in, and I had this, the spirit ended up being a relation. So I had the relation over here as a spirit being talked to. I had her with the healing going on here, and I had another spirit over here. The office was really full, and it was all happening at the same time. It was really cool. But people, you know, it just depends what, you know, it depends what people want to do on the one-to-one. You know, I have people coming for a healing with the divine. I have another process where I can take you into your regression to meet your pure self source energy, and then go back up the spiral to find where the first trauma was, where you lost that connection, and reconnect you. So it's instantaneous.
Oh, whoa. Yeah. I see that. This is like really, I'm wondering, I kind of feel like, what would happen? What if we did burn all the books, burned all the buildings, burnt education, and we all just actually were in these temples meditating? Would that get us more in tune with Reiki? Would you still find these paths to healing, even if, like, I mean, it's really hard to know. I know that's a like huge thought experiment. I do wonder, like, if we were in a world where we were just more in tune with nature and having to like rebuild society. It's a question I've asked healers before on this show. Like, do you think you would eventually connect to the same things that you are at now, even without 100%. All the forms around it? You believe that?
100%, because I've never read a book to get to where I am now. Never.
Yeah.
And it's the not reading of the books that keeps the channel clear. It keeps me open, because I don't put my mind into a direction of understanding. I allow the understanding to occur first, and then I research. Same with the code. RNA is just this, that, and the other. I'm like, that's great. What's RNA? You know. And then I learned about it, which then led me to doing some radical behavioral training, which gave me a different language to support the cognitive science language to further help my clients. But I didn't research about all that before. And so, and with the education, so we're so much about, I need a certificate, I need to get it right, and I need to do this, and I need to do that. But all of the information is available to us if we could just open up those channels of not having to live by these expectations and fears and, you know, everything else. And this is an underlying thing, actually. And especially with aligned with business coaching stuff, it's like, you've given me permission to be myself in my own business. And I'm like, why would that not be the case? You know what I mean? It's like so obvious to me, like, well, yeah, you know, but I myself have been through lots of different systems where they really, it's like, find a niche, do this, do that. And it's just like, oh, you know, your soul's going to scream at the end of that. So yeah, it's all about you being yourself and tuning into your own inspiration. It's so cool because when people are working with me, I've got messenger groups for my different courses. And I'll be thinking about something the day before. I'll just have this idea. And they will all then message about, I've just had this really cool idea. And I'm like, nah, they're literally trailing me now.
Wow. Wow.
The energy becomes such a container and such a oneness that we start to, you know, cross over in our understandings. And that's the connection to the continuum.
Yeah. So then, you know what, to tie, I tried to tie it all together, but it's really hard. It's hard. You are the queen of hearts. Okay. So look, people talk about the awakening. People are talking about right now, this is a time of awakening. And whenever this, I know this will air in, likely this is airing in 2021. I don't even know if the numbers really matter. People are just constantly, the thing that in the community is ascension. We're going to 5D. We're awakening. What's going on with that? What is your take on what is happening? Because what you are speaking to, at least the work you're doing with Divine Soul Leaders, is a little bit of what they talk about, like the idea that everything under the subconscious or everything that's been buried is coming to the surface, and people are realizing that. You know, people were saying with the pandemic too, it shut down businesses. People started questioning what I mentioned earlier, the law of attraction stuff. Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't actually want a car. Maybe other values are more important when you can't all go out and enjoy these lifestyle things. I think there is a little bit of truth, but what is your take on what the ascension and awakening actually is, if we are even headed there?
So my take is really simple. It's one word, and it's responsibility. It's about humans taking responsibility for themselves, for their healing, for their actions, for their reactions, for the lives of their, you know, their children, to understand their own traumas so that the next generation doesn't live those same traumas again. So for me, the awakening around what is exactly what you were saying, what is important, what is not, the people grow through great loss. You know, it's quite often a loss that will make someone move to another level. So they've always wanted to run their own business, but they've been really comfortable in the job that they've had, but then they get made redundant and then they have a freak out about it, but then they go maybe and run that business. They have a choice at that moment to make a decision or change. You know, they can go and get another job, or they can go and do their dream. You're always being given opportunities to grow and learn. They are everywhere, every day, you know. But it's, for me, the awakening is all around responsibility. Humans taking responsibility from where we've come from to where we're going, and really what's important for us internally, and being able to love and accept, not from a place of judgment, and having a true expression and being courageous enough to own that for yourself, and then be able to own that for your children, so we start impacting these generations moving forward.
Yeah.
You know, so for me, that's what the awakening is. And it's, you know, we can all talk about vibrating off into the 5D or going off over here, but, you know, it's a bit like going on holiday, you know, or moving country or moving house. You still take the same furniture with you.
Yes.
It's the same. People go, oh, I left because I was trying to get away, and then it all went horribly wrong over there as well. I said, yeah, the common denominator is you, mate. You know what I mean? So it's we can vibe and wherever we want to go, but wherever we're going to go, we actually have to take responsibility. And we see this with a lot of the spirituals. They all love living up here in the, you know, the third eye and the crown. It's all fluffy up here, and they all completely ignore the trauma of the reality of their actual human existence. And that you're human. You're not a vibrating Mayan or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yes,
or an
energy. Yes.
You're a human. This reality needs to be resolved to move forward before anyone's going anywhere.
Yeah. Is the universe pushing us towards this, you think? Or
yes.
Why do you know that it is? Because that's the thing I don't understand. Like, when people talk about the awakening, originally it was in the context of, well, we thought it was going to happen December 21st, 2012, and then 2020 year of stuff. Yeah, that. What are the dates? What's the significance of the timelines?
There's no, it's now, I very much align with the philosophy of Kundalini Yoga, and a lot of what they talk about when it comes to an awakening are the cycles of mankind. And it's a process of 500 years. I remember, you know, even 5 years ago, oh my God, I've got to help as many people as I can. And we've got to get ready for this, you know, the awakening that's coming, and everyone needs to be ready, and it's going to happen overnight, and all the humans are going to just switch on, you know. No. This is a process of 500 years, you know, it's over. And so we have all these amazing children being born right now that are, you know, highly sensitive in their central nervous systems, and hugely their brain capacity is completely different. You know, they're the autistics, ADHD, all that stuff. You know, we're trying to convert them to being us. They're our future. A lot of that is our future. The sensitivities and the energy, that's why they don't like being touched, because their central nervous system is so sensitive. Wow. So Steve Hawkins, Steve Hawkins, Helen Keller, all of that, they've all got a fundamental in high spatial learning, right? High visual spatial, gifted spatial learning, but they all have very sensitive central nervous systems, but their brains are of a linear kind, which would made them be the creators and the inspirers of those generations. So people creating the awakening and leading us toward what's possible have been born over the last 100 years. We had the indigo children, you know, whatever other names you want to give to them, the sensitives of the empaths. Now they're all in their 20s and 30s, and hopefully they're all going to move forward and not be divinely damaged by the collective consciousness that they were born into, and realize that they actually were the courageous leaders, and to find that leadership again.
Wow. You
know, and actually take us forward. And the children that are being born now with the, you know, the anxieties and stuff, they can't be ignored. It's not adults having nervous breakdowns anymore at 30 and, oh, I lived this life. It's children. We can't ignore this anymore. We have to take responsibility for what has gone before and what will be to come if we're going to awaken to anything.
Wow. Sita Nirban, the mystic scientist. How do you find her? Well, you're gonna, I don't know, you're gonna get put on a backpack, get a water bottle, you're gonna need a walking stick, because you don't have a website currently, right?
I'm still making it.
It might be out by the time this airs, so if I it do could have be. Links check the notes, the show notes will be where Sita is. Do you want people finding you through the internet? Okay, fine, good.
If they're divinely guided to you know, want to know more about this and love to play, oh, that's my thing. I love playing. If people come to me, I'm like, okay, what are we doing? Let's go, you know. So
yeah,
if they're that way and they want to explore and, you know, grow and see and just have a lot of fun and the creation and inspiration and yeah, absolutely. Facebook and, you know, my website when I finish making it.
Yeah, the golden key. Yeah, you might just want to check out her Facebook page just to see all these nifty graphics I'm looking at. Yeah, I love it. I love it. Sita, you are some sort of, I don't know, I feel like some mythological character I'm speaking to. Like, I've been guided. And I very much enjoyed this conversation. It's been very mind-blowing in fabulously different areas. Right now, if you have one recommendation for me before we go, to get my chakras, I want the white light. I don't want the rainbow. I want the white light. What should I do, Sita?
To focus into those spaces. Right. So focusing into that base chakra and not changing it, not making it be big and bright and red and all the rest of it. What is it now? What is it it's telling you now? And is it feeling darker? Is it sluggish? Is it bright? What is it? And what are the messages that are coming from it? It will give you messages, and do that for each one. Just a word.
Yeah.
And that will be your moving forward and giving you little bits of information for you to work forward and resolve in your reality.
Yeah. Because you know what? To put it all together, fifth time I've tried to do this. One of the things you said at the beginning was you were curious, divinely curious, which is why you were able to channel this stuff. And what people are learning, you have the opportunity to take any of your courses or to go through the Golden Key process. You are teaching people to develop that curiosity. You're not saying, I'm special here. You know, you're saying everyone's capable of this. You just have to be able to do what you said. Go in, ask it what it wants, or ask what it's doing, even just having any curiosity, and then you can awaken these abilities. So that's awesome. That's so cool. It's an empowering message. I still think she might be the most powerful woman of the world, folks. And, you know, I don't know. Seems pretty powerful to me. Yeah. No, Sita Nirbhan, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really love this conversation.
Thank you. So I've loved it. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. Honestly, it's great.
Awesome.
Open loops. Open loops. Open loops. Open loops. Open loops. You must listen to the open loops, a theme park for absurd beliefs and systems of integration between the mind and the creative spirit. Open loop.